March 8, 2021. It's the Juan from Pedro Show. It's deja vu all over again, people. They started out with John Coltrane and Kenny Dorham doing double clutching, like double spieling, huh? And then Executioner from Jealous, and all the way from Liverpool, Brother Phil Hartley. Welcome aboard, Phil.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, brother? You okay? Nice to hear your voice again, man.
Absolute. We keep on keeping on, and I haven't seen you since I was in your town.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years now, man. Maybe 3 years or so, four maybe even now.
Yeah, I don't know. You're a better calendar monitor than I am. But I remember the first time I met you, it was not in Liverpool. It was in a town called Chester. And there was a festival the Stooges were playing. And this ties in somehow with the Drellas.
It does indeed. It does indeed.
Now, it's been
11 years ago, I think, that show was. Was it 11 years, something like that?
Well, let me tell the listeners. You've been on the show before with Brother Pasha and the Super Fast Girly Show. But we've never been enlightened to this. And this is with Tommy in Space, right? And anyway, yeah, go on. 11 years ago.
So essentially, me, Tommy, and Alan from Super Fast Girly Show, we've all been in bands together for quite a few years now, quite a while. And Tommy wanted to do something really strange and arty and a little bit off the wall. So we did a band called The Drellas. Obviously, Drella coming from the Lou Reed, Andy Warhol thing. So it was quite open and quite strange. We've been around for a few years, and it'd been quite a few lineups, a few incarnations. By the time we get to Chester Rocks, which was, I think it was either 2010 or 2011 possibly, with your good selves, we just recorded the album maybe 2-3 weeks before, and we did it live. We cut it all live, and mixed it like a week later, and then we play the show with yourself, with Iggy and the Stooges, and the album was set to come out maybe 2 months later or something like that. And Tommy wrapped the band up and got together our old band Space, and we started doing that again. So this album got shelved for nearly 11 years. And now, to be fair, it's been lockdown. All these records have resurfaced during lockdown, and we've finished them or remastered them. And there's a good mate wanted to put them out. So we got them all together, mastered it all and put it out. And here we are 10 years later, and it finally sees the light of day.
So you're saying, like, because of the situation, the opportunity presents itself, you had time to do shit you couldn't do 10, 11 years.
It's ridiculous, to be fair. I think the album would have come out if we hadn't have parked the band, essentially, and gone back to Space. we would have got moved ahead with it, but the lineup changed and we got the old guys back that were in the original Space lineup, and this album just there was just no room for it anymore. You know what I mean? And plus, I think we stole a couple of the songs from this for the soon to be released Space album at the time. So that there was no chance of going back to it then. But you know, after a decade, it's possibly worthwhile looking at it again. And to be fair, the Dwellers had quite a wide fan base for a while. And we've been constantly getting asked to put it out, or at least put something by that band out. We did release one 7-inch 2009, I think that was, something like that. So, yeah, it's just been that time, I think. We met this guy who, it's a weird story, actually. He was a bass player from a band that was our peers in Liverpool, another quite big band called Cast, and the bass player, Pete Wilkie, and his mate Nick Graff, they set up a label called Aviate. And if you remember, Mike, you played the Thomas Scott Quartet record about 3-4 months ago.
Well, I played every tune, but not all together. They were all different episodes of Wat Pedro Show, but I think I ended up playing every tune. That you played piano on that, right?
Yeah, man. Well, I played piano on it. I played double bass, electric bass. I did all the string arrangements. I even played a bit of cello, a bit of violin, an accordion, played accordion on it. So many things. Because, to be fair, that record was, Tommy had started it a few years ago, and it was just drums, bass, guitars, some vocals, some, you know, incidental instruments. And we got the drummer from, who played with Liam Gallagher and Noel, you know, the Oasis guys. He played with them on it. It was a lovely record, you know what I mean? But it just, we always wanted it to be more. With the lockdown coming, Tommy got this offer from Aviate Records to put his soul record out. And Tom went, "We've got time. We're not doing anything. Do you fancy doing what we always wanted to do to this record now?" Which was essentially orchestrating it and, you know, bringing up. We're, me and Tommy are really into, the film composers and the, you know, that, the film noir kind of vibe and the horror genre and all this kind of thing. So I wanted to bring a bit of Bernard Herrmann and a bit of that Ennio Morricone style more into our music. So I kind of went full on down that route and ended up orchestrating it. I really love that record, actually. It's probably one of my favourite records I've made over the last 30 years, easily.
Now, good record. Just connect with Tommy. I mean, what? He gets all your fucking projects going?
Do you know what's weird? This is odd, isn't it? This is really, really strange. It's, you know, when you, as you know yourself, you meet someone and you just have that connection.
Sure.
And it's, Tom is unlike anybody else I've ever met in that he's never been anchored or married to a particular sound. Absolutely anything can influence him. Any kind of music, film, literature, absolutely anything can influence him. And the interesting thing with Tom was when I was growing up back in the day, early 90s, the music scene was a very snobby kind of thing to be a part of. Not snobby in, it was kind of anti-muso, do you know what I mean? Kind of like the punk thing, I guess, in the early days, as in they were going against the players and all the musicians. So there was always a dumb-it-down kind of attitude around the music scene forever. It's always been that way. Until recently, I guess. So Tommy always had this, he never played three-chord songs, for instance. He would not get three major chords, the standard thing. He'd always, the way he learned was from Frank Sinatra records, or so there was always that jazz element, you know what I mean? He'd always have these strange, weird harmonies and weird melodies, which nobody else was doing. And with my upbringing as a piano player and, you know, getting really into jazz from a young age, I just sort of fell in with it. Do you know what I mean? It's an odd thing. And what I love about Tommy is it doesn't matter what record you're working on or what band it is, you never know what's coming. There's always going to be an off the wall vibe to it, so you can generally go anywhere, you know what I mean? There's never any rules or any preconceptions of what it's going to be, essentially, and I've always liked that.
Right, but this idea of him also being like the fire start, he's the one who brings it, right?
Yeah, he always is. He always gets into something and he'll really, really focus on it for a long, long time. We'll go for a few years and we'll try and get that vibe and we'll do it. And then it'll completely change. And the next record, 2 years later, he'll want to do something completely different. We've done hip-hop sounding albums. We've done electro records, punk records, with you name it. There's swingy kind of records, weird electronica. Whatever takes us both at the time. Like, this is what's strange about and wonderful about Tommy at the same
way. Yeah, I'm going to say not strange. Well, strange compared to like the same old, which is all genre dominant. I mean, this is proof that fucking music is music, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I've always found sticking into a pigeonhole has been an issue for me. You know, when people expect, everyone expects your next record to sound like the last record, and then they get a cob on when it, you know, they get the hump when it's not like that. And it's, you know what I mean? I don't know why people always expect artists to stay the same and always produce exactly the same thing. That's one thing you never get with Tommy. You can't rely on that. And well, I love that, you know what I mean?
Well, maybe gig goers and listeners got conditioned by some fucking brainwash.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Well, to be fair, I suppose even the way social media is and the way the world is today, everything is condensed, isn't it, to the shortest attention span possible.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, Brother Phil, back in the 70s, what closed-minded... We wouldn't listen to shit 5 years old. So I don't know, it's just a new problem. I want to play The Moon Stares Down.
That's not a smile, that's a razor blade smile.
Drift through the dust, downtown at dawn, where we rock to the nuts. By now you're wondering why you have been contacted for this mission. Please listen to this tape recording carefully, and then follow the instructions at the end. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to travel to Toulon, the south of France. Find every master recording by the Hi-Fi Club and destroy them. You have several options for this destruction. You can use fire, alcohol, smoke, vapor, or poison. You are not to harm any member of the Hi-Fi Club physically, only destroy all tape recordings.
Please enter the number 75437562917741 if you understand these instructions.
Now destroy this tape recording immediately. Your mission has begun. Mission. Impossible.
What's this? A collaboration with ZZ Top.
Do you think anybody will know if I kept the tape? How smart are these fuckers, really?
In deze tijden waarin haast niets meer mag, heeft iedereen behoefte aan de waan van de dag.
Live for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started with the Durellas. You know, John Cale, right, he made a record with Lou because that was their nickname for Andy.
Yeah, that's where we took the name of the band from.
Right, right. Well, I just wanted to get that Welsh man, John Cale, in there.
Yeah. Absolute legend of a man.
Still going. Kicking like Cato, right? He's working on a new record, and like he's in his late 80s or somewhere around there.
He's never going to stop, man. Why should you? Why should he? You know?
Maybe it's early 80s. I don't want to, like, whatever. He's inspiration. You know, Minuteman got to play with him once.
You did, yeah?
I wouldn't shit you, Brother Phil. It was in Strong Beach, a place called Fender Ballroom downtown. And he was, it was not a good, healthy period for him, maybe. He was doing solo piano. So he was torn with just a piano tuner. And he goes, you know, it's time for our sound check. He gets done. And, I ain't moving the piano. And me and B-Boo were like, Mr. K, we would be very honored to share this stage with your piano. He said, you would. And he looks at D-Boone's pants. D-Boone was wearing these fucking pants he got at the Army Surplus that no you know, they were just shit a soldier would put over his uniform for a chemical warfare attack. So there's it tripped him out. There's no pocket. You know, he's looking at it. He's like, what are those for? So you don't have to feel the weight of the heavy coin.
Yeah.
and him and John. No, it's just us three and John Cale in the room here. Even the sound man left. So Georgie and D-Boone laughing. And we're going to go chow. And so it's just me and John Cale. And he told me to sit on the edge of the stage.
Whoa.
And so, okay. And then he gets on the fucking piano. And he looks me straight in the eyes and sings me The Streets of Laredo. I mean, like a command perform, right? One-on-one trip, man.
Fuck, and I started crying.
I started crying, and he started laughing. But that's my big John Cale story.
That's amazing. I absolutely love it.
After Moon Stares Down by the Drellers, we heard Richard Hell with Downtown at Dawn. He found the master tapes to his second album, Destiny Street, and remixed everything and sent it to me with his signed thing. Yeah, it was beautiful.
You know what? I was literally having a conversation about Richard Hell yesterday.
Is that right?
He just doesn't get the props he deserves, man. The bass lines, the Mustang that he used to play with the flats on it, Blank Generation, that record is just unbelievable.
His phrasing is really trippy.
Oh, it's... It really is. It's second to. There's not many people who play like that.
You know,
you Scott, yourself. You've got your own sound, and you can always tell it. You know.
Scotty Ashton, Stooges drummer man, told me about recording with him for Sonny Vincent. Richard was playing so hard, his fingers were bleeding in the studio. Now there's this last song on that Blank Generation, not this one, Destiny Street, but called Another World. It's also on the first 7-inch. That bass line is so fucking bitching. It's just so fucking funky. It's like the way Jackie in Can is funky without trying to imitate, you know, brothers, what they're already doing, but totally influenced.
Yeah.
We had Barry Berko Band after Richard with Noble Peculiarities, his big piece. Tommy Dayhill after that with You Can't Fathom a Fathom. I think he's from up in Alaska doing Irish music. He wrote me this letter about death metal banjo or some shit. But, you know, see this thing, that's why I think there's some conditioning. Maybe it's just bucking back against it, but, like, you got to give it a fucking name. It can't be just music, right?
No, okay. there's got to be a pigeonhole.
Right, Dale Kroger. Well, I can understand a marketing man trying to make his job easier, but fuck that. Dale Kroger from his solo record. See, drummers can make solo records, huh? Supine is how I found him. Supine. I remember reading that in Nick Tosh's book, In the Hand of Dante. Supine. Yeah, supine. That's not a usual Pedro word. Okay. Bombas Prendon after that with Gimme Pop Pop Mantra Tantra. We scats. I maybe recorded 5,000-6,000 songs in 40 years, did 4 or 5 gigs. Or maybe 6. Yeah, tripping. And then they found more. There's a buttload that's coming out of some archive. Hans Rotten out of Switzerland with Free Impro Thingy. Hansy. Gareth Sager from the pop group with his pianist stuff. And he calls it like a quintet or quartet, sextet, but it's just him and his sax, man.
I love the pop group, man. Pop group are the major influence on us.
Yeah, Miniature 05. Yeah. Gareth Sager, he was the guitar man. But he also did sax. I think he'd play anything. But yeah. They were huge influence on Miniman. Jesus. Yeah. Them and Wire, I can't imagine what our band, well, we'd probably be Creedence or Blue Oyster Cult. Not them two guys. And then Hi-Fi Club, brand new, with Eugene Chadbourne, Mission Impossible, that trip on that fucking riff. New from the Netherlands, Juan, they don't do that shit. So Juan von der Dag, you know, completely different language, German, but just incredible coincidence. And that's my buddy Jan Bart. And Intro, yeah, the title's in English, okay. The Drellos finally with Daddy's Little Inbred.
Oh.
Now, what was the process on this, Brother Phil? Did when you guys came up with tunes, did Tommy make demos? Did you just jam these fucking things out?
Well, this is what's really interesting with Tom, is Tom has a collection of different methods when it comes to writing, and it almost depends on what he's writing for to how he presents a track. So sometimes it will literally be an acoustic guitar and his voice, and that's it. Other times, for instance, when we got Space back together, because the music is very loop-based, it originated around that 90s hip-hop style of loop manipulation kind of idea, he will literally put a collection of samples together to make his point.
You know
it
what?
Might not be...
There was a loop trip. There was a loop trip also with what was that thing, Philip Glass, Einstein on the Beach, man. That has fucking loops.
Yeah.
But
honestly,
you're right.
Sometimes
and
it can sound
I was
like
reading
that.
Somewhere where African Bambaataa said he was captivated by the Kraftwerk loops.
Yeah.
Isn't it trippy how everybody informed? Well, we're talking about Drella world here. So, like, these Drella tunes. So you said sometimes acoustic. So Tommy already had the words?
Yes, in some cases. Sometimes it started as a jam, because back then we were in a rehearsal room like 3 or 4 times a week for probably 2 years. Probably was 2 years. But the band, the Drellos, actually started out with just me and Tom and a drum machine to start with, because he was going for that Suicide kind of vibe, you know, the Alan Vega kind of. We wanted to go down that really dark electro kind
of
vibe.
Martin Rev, don't forget Martin Rev.
Exactly, you know what I mean? It's like that whole vibe was what he was after to start with. So we started, we had a 70s Korg Mini Pops drum machine. Nasty little wooden thing with one big knob in the middle. And that was our drummer for about a year maybe. And then he got a little bit annoyed with that. So we got a drummer in. Leon Caffrey, the original, he was one of the Space drummers, actually. So we got him in for a while, and when we did that, it was more jamming in the room. We'd come up with a riff, he'd record it on his tape machine, and then the next time we'd rehearse, he'd have a song.
Okay, so he didn't have the words right. So for something like Daddy's Little Inbred.
Yeah, actually, Daddy's Little Inbred started out as a riff, so that came when Alan joined the band, so that would have been, say, 2009. And Al's, as you know, Al, Super Fast Gaily Show, Al, he's got that, he's the big Tom man. So that basically came from Al, I should imagine. Me and Al jamming out a riff, and again, Tommy would take it and bring it back. Whereas some of the songs, he brought the entire thing in some cases. There's been time, because Tom used to actually be the bass player of Space originally, and Tom comes up with amazing bass lines sometimes. So occasionally he'll bring me a song and he's like, I've done a bass, please don't be offended. And I never am, because they're always brilliant. Do you know what I mean? They always are. He's just got a knack for a hook. So it's very rare he'll do that, but occasionally he will bring a finished, you know, I want you to play this and you to play that. But that's very rare.
Interesting. We're at the end of the first hour, March 8th, 2021. Special guest Phil Hartley. Hold tight for hour two. March 8th, 2021. It's the second hour of the Live from Pedro show.
their heart. We see you rip the innocence right from their body parts. Wandering your paths are the travel of their spine. When you reach your destination, you've got demons in their mind.
About the rest. tongues. We give it to our children and drink it ourselves. It's all we have. Now some folks did warn us, no place to build a home. Had nowhere else to go. Settle in this valley beneath these black mountains. And we built our home. As we built our home, these clouds rolled in. They have been here ever since. Children, that's what I believe. Then those boys not come home. Town has been searching, rumors abound. They were last seen with my girls. I asked my daughters what they know, but they just stared at the ground. Just the next day, their bodies were found in the woods behind my house. They had suffered a violent death. That's what they said. Time's ripe for answers, for someone to blame. They came for my girl. What could I do? My blood. So here I sit, a man condemned to pay for those boys. The town believes they got their man, but my girls are safe. Family have long since gone, my letters go unread. But my girls are safe. So it ends with my life. Call it a willing sacrifice. Thank you.
others can see it as I have seen. It may be called a vision rather than a dream. We leave behind worn out pleasures, hopes that our heart fears. If others can see it as I have seen, it may be called a vision rather than a dream. We leave behind what our pleasures, hopes, and our fears. Thank you.
for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with the Drellas doing Pedo Padre. More about that in a little bit. Ben Salter from Tasmania after that. I can't go on, but please do. Songs are for pretending people. Bedunizer out of Barcelona with some incredible bass work there. Ford Carriada. 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 God, you got to roll that. I'm still ruining it, people. Forgive me. Lo siento. Hatchet Field, brand new, out of Northern Ireland with Beneath the Black Mountain. For them, from Andrea Pensado. She's in Argentina, but I think she's in New England right now. A Network Glass, Balmore, fucking Dory. He's incredible. 6969 Health. Incredible. And you can see how they're related in a way, their music's. And their, yeah, countries apart. That's what music's for, people. Bringing us together, not pushing us apart. Nilsson, also Barcelona, Communal Luxury, and finally the Drellas, 1 million years before Candy. Oh. Now, this pedo, I learned this word from one of the Stooges helper, man, because, you know, when I started helping those guys out, they're from it. One guy's from was York, and one guy was Sussex, I think.
Yeah, the northerner, the Yorkshireman will definitely know that word.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But no, they were, because I came here when I was 9, right? And it should be San Pedro, but the people here, they didn't call it that. I think I learned it was from Scandinavian seamen 100 years ago didn't know the Spanish pronounced so much. But we only fuck up that word in the beat. The guy who found. There's already people living here, by the way. We say Cabrillo instead of Cabrillo, okay. But we don't say tortillas or jalapenos or fucking frijoles, moje. You know, we only fuck up those two. And I think it's a test, even the Latin guy said, to see if you've been here. But anyway, they were hearing me say Pedro, and it sounds like their word for a child molester. That's what we say, Pedro. So that's where I... And I said, no, man, it's just a fucked up way of saying the name wrong, but it had nothing to do with that shit. So anyway, life is a life's a classroom, huh?
It always is, mate. Especially different words, the way they pronounce the different in different countries is hilarious. Some of the connotations, just makes me laugh so many times.
You say Padre, you don't say, in fact, the San Diego baseball team's the Padres, right?
Padres, we say Padre. No, Pedo Padre, that's how we say it.
Okay.
Pedo
Padre. And that's a father in Spanish people. So, and it can mean in a religious sense, like a priest and stuff. So like something like that. Well, the main lyric writer for Drellas was Tommy, right?
Yeah, it's Tommy, yeah. See, Tom's obsessed with things that are taboo. He's obsessed with things that are that make you think. Or have made him think, for that matter. It's one of them. It's odd. There's a lot of serial killers. There's a lot of horror. There's a lot of extremities of human behavior within his music. And in some cases, there can be a really sweet love song. And it's you know, he's got one, for instance, called "I'm in Love with a Boy in a Body Bag." It's like. He can't help himself, but there's always a really interesting play on the way he presents the lyric. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I've heard tunes that are so warm and like a beautiful ballad, and then you're sitting there thinking, what did he just say? Really?
Here, I want to play "Surface of the Sun." This might be okay for work.
Like, 思い出してろくに眠れもせずまた一人の立ち回るもう一人の方ならば何が思い出してろくに眠れもせずまた一人の立ち回るもう一人の方。
こんにちは。ということで、次のライブは9月の23日にここで決まってますけど、すごい遠い。ちょっとここに、絶賛のキリヒトとヒルヒメが考えました。ぜひ来てください。ということで、最後までございます。
For Peter show, start off that chunk of the Drellas doing Surface of the Sun, and then my buddy Nez, Irish cat, lived for a time in England, and then he moved to Hokkaido, the big northern island in Japan. He's been there 10-12 years, and he sent me a bunch of music, what's happening there right now. So I played here's a bunch of bands here. Car Thief School, he just put out the album, his own Transduction Records label. Showaka yo daizensu you. Yeah, destroy some more language.
You gotta give it a go.
The Hatch after that with High Chi Cutter. No, Kigu Chi Cutter. Fuck. High. Slang with Tokyo Suicide Hell. Well, yeah, thanks for the English go there. Bang Lang. Nishibi ni Sakuhana. Desert. Something live. Straight Light Run. And then finally, the Drellas with the Modern Devils. So, where did you record this? Was it in a studio in Liverpool?
This was actually in my old studio. I used to own a studio in Liverpool, quite a big place. Well, actually, I took it over it from the previous owners, Ian Brody, who made a lot of the Echo and the Bunnymen records, and he was in a band called the Lightning Seeds. It was his studio originally. I took it over. I had it for about 10 or 12 years. And we did that in there. It was, you know, big old Neve and a couple of MTR 90s, Otari 2-inch machines and Pro Tools and that as well. But I generally liked the tape. Was trying to keep it alive as long as possible, you know. That was actually the last record I ever recorded in that studio. And sad thing is that the studio had been there for 30 years and it got shut down by the environmental health and noise because a new building went up next to us with flats in it and they eventually shut us down. I was like, ugh.
You know, that happens. Like a club, Ramona had to go through this in the city at the bottom of the hill. It's a whole big legacy of making music, right? And then they built condos or some shit and people move in there without knowing. And it's a total setup. It's fucked up.
We had so much of it, to be fair. I mean, the last 15 years have been quite bad in the UK. A lot of really known, famous venues were shut down because of it. But I think about 3 years ago, there started being a bit of a pushback and quite a few that were threatened. You know, what's the one in Bristol?
The Fleece
was about to shut down. That's been one of my favourite venues for many years, but they saved it in the end.
Right.
So, so far, it's still, I don't know if this pandemic has caused any problems, but as far as I'm aware, it's still open.
Yeah, but this is different. And, you know, that's a nightmare situation. This is something like, you know, putting people against people, because the people who buy the car, they don't understand the situation they're moving into. That builder knows.
Yeah, the builder knows. The builder definitely knows.
Yeah, especially if the club's been there, like, or that studio, like you say, 30 years. Now, when you did the Drella album, was it like a couple of days of things, or was it a little like tune by tune kind of trip?
No, we actually played most of it live. I think we went on the weekend. We did pretty much every tune on the first day. I think we got 9 of them done on the first day. We did about 18 songs in total. Some of which ended up on the next Space album, so they're not in this issue.
Right.
And then the next day we went in and we got a couple of overdubs done. The tune that I think you've just played, 1 Million Years Before Candy, that it was actually written about the original Space drummer who passed away. It was written very soon after that. So we got these three girls in Barbershop to come in and sing. So they came in on the next day and did that. And then we mixed it a week later.
What I'm thinking is, for you to come in there and get fucking 18 tunes in a day, you must have been well pracked.
Oh, that, to be fair, I mean, that band was one of the tightest bands I've played in most of my life. We had such a great rhythm section with me and Alan from Superfast and Space. Sure. He was on drums. I played with Tom for that long that we know each other. It's just instant, you know what I mean? But there was two other members, which was Ryan Clark. He played like a Vox Continental, you know, the organ, the really horrible sounding Scar organ. He played one of them. And the other guy who is one of my absolute heroes is Simon James. He's a saxophone player. He was in Super Fairy Animals, Shaq, and his own band Wizards of Twiddly. To be fair, I actually used to watch this lad play when I was probably 12 or 13, 14, very early 90s. They were one of the big alternative bands in Liverpool. And one of my big bass heroes was a guy called Andy Frizzell, and that was who Simon was in a band with. So it was a strange time. I got to actually be in a band with him for about 2 years. He played in Chester when we did the Stooges show and all that kind of stuff. The other great thing about that guy is his band, Wizards of Twiddly, who I was a huge fan of, I got to make a record with them, one of the last albums called People With Purpose. And it was actually the last record that ever featured Jimmy Carl Black, you know, the drummer from Frank Zappa's band.
Absolutely.
Because they were big on the Zappa scene and, you know, with the Muffin Men and all that kind of thing.
Girl,
so it was
amazing.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour, March 8, 2021. Peter Show special guest Phil Hartley. Hold tight for hour three. March 8th, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
So she wasn't bangle when she fell. Ready? You gotta be quick. pine forests, high-sighing pillars, hold up the domes of sky with spinning stars. Clear water catching the light, while punching and greening the edges. For now, night shines, leaving clean the impending dew. In bread of smile, eye to eye, silent fly, love stories. Same space far from the chilling fear of darkness. A crown of stars, a crescent moon, underfoot carrying the carefully wrapped M&Ms. Independent within the wholeness of creation and myself combined. There's still a way to go.
Oh.
Watch for Pedro Show. We start off the third hour with the Drellas, Old Nick's Veins.
Oh, yeah.
Should there be apostrophe there? Because it's Nick's Veins, right?
You know what's really funny? We've just had all of this for the last 4 days, trying to deal with the grammar. I'm heavily dyslexic, and they've got me writing the things for the cover. I'm like, come on, mate. I'm not the person to be doing stuff like that.
It's okay. So, can't copyright a song title either, you know that. Okay, Susan Loha and Crane with. The name of the tune, people, is With. Black Randy and the Metro Squad from our old Hollywood scene. I tell lies every day. So, you know what that tune's about. Gold Mines after that. How far? Space. Now, you flow me a rough mix of something that's coming. And it's called, I Guess I Fucked Up. And then finally, the Drellas with Burned Down the School. But tell me about this space. I think maybe you talked a little bit about it already.
Yeah, man. Well, it's a new album, essentially, which we've been threatening to do for about 2.5 years. We started in the winter. I think it was late September in 2019. And then we went on tour and we had Christmas. Then we started another tour and COVID happened. So everything got cut off. And I set to work trying to finish this record. But in between doing this record, I had 3 broken computers. It just didn't, you know, when you get something that does not want to be finished, it's got this thing about it and everything goes wrong. It was kind of like that with it. So I fixed my computer. Tommy wanted to do the solo record, so we did the Thomas Scott Quintet. Then the Drellas thing popped up, so I ended up doing that. And now I'm just about finished the New Space record, which was essentially written while sound checking over the previous 2 years. So it was a load of riffs and loops that we'd all got together. Tommy had wrote some bits and others, you know, it was a mishmash of a lot of different things. And then it's just come together now, and the records, I'm loving it. It's back to the original, very Beastie Boys kind of inspired, hip-hoppy kind of grooves, but with songs, essentially. You know what I mean? It's a lot of fun. And this tune is one of my favourites, actually. One of my favourites, because I think it's the simplest. And it's got that really nasty guitar on it, which Tom's so good at. It's a fun song. It's a nice taste to what the album's going to be, you know.
And when is it going to be?
It's called Music for Pleasure and Music for Pain.
No, when? W-H-E-N.
I reckon August, September.
Summertime, okay.
Yeah, summertime is coming out, yeah.
Everybody be all vaccined up.
Yep.
That'd be good. I want to play The Devil's at the Party. More Drellas.
Thank you.
Life for Pedro show last music for this edition. Devil's at the Party. The Drellas. Then Yoshiaki Fujikawa and the East Asia Orchestra with Tribal Chief Pate Pote. That's a trippy title. Matterhorn from the Xenochronic AMM All-Stars with Watt on bass. And, yeah, that's some guys. I think the guy who has it all together is in South London, but people send in stuff all over, and he just puts it all together.
Puts it all together? Oh, that's cool, man. That's cool.
Well, right? Internet's not all bad. There's a lot of shitty things, but trading files is a good thing. And then finally, yeah. The Drellas with, I guess this is, you know, I played it in order, Brother Phil.
Yeah, man, I noticed there. So start to finish.
Usually the last, you know, us being from the West, right, the last statement, of it, when you read left to right, the last statement was kind of the bottom line, we say, or like, right, the whole enchilada. Yeah, and this tune is called Violence is Art. So is this Tommy's, like, fundamental philosophy?
I said, yeah, I said, in as much as music should just be whatever you're feeling at that time, and right. If it happens to be violent, it's violent, but it's, you know, it's an expression, it's violence while being non-violent, violent audio, if you like.
There was a Mata Hoople song called Violence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they had violins in it, of course.
Of course, why not?
The chorus was over, no, violence is the only thing that'll make you see sense.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
And this day and age, Jesus. We're talking the 70s, right?
Yeah,
it's the same record with All the Way from Memphis. And they engineer, I don't know how they work this out, but they have a fight. The end part of the tune is them, you know, chingazos, you know, going at it.
Why not? Why not, indeed?
Right.
I've seen bands do that live quite
a lot.
Yeah,
right.
I've seen a few gigs descend into utter violence between the band members.
Right, there's a film clip making the rounds on the internet now. I guess the drummer was, like, kind of dogging the beat, so the singer, like, kind of tried to enlighten him.
It's so good.
You know what I'm talking about, right? He pushes the guy back, and then that dude grabs the cymbal stand, and he could have killed him. He's a little guy, too, but he ends up on top of this dude.
Yeah, he's having him, isn't he? Proper having him.
I've seen shit like that. You know, when I first started going to club gigs, because arena rock, you didn't see much of that shit. But at club gigs, I see shit like that. It would blow my mind. It was like the busting the fourth wall, right? Oh, Mr. Wizard.
There was a few bands like that from Liverpool. It was absolutely insane. You never know who was going to get it. But whose fault was it? This is the point. Half the time there was a mosh pit and
this
someone
is the
get
point. Okay, hit. Okay.
And the amount of times I've seen a singer, like, clip the guitar player because he thought it was the headstock of his guitar, and it wasn't. It was some random beer bottle or something.
Yeah, well, you just brought up something. Probably the patron saint of this kind of behavior was Gigi Allen.
And I was literally watching him.
He was asked in an interview, you know, what's the deal? You're going to end up killing yourself on stage? Is that the point? And he goes, look, that's not the point. The point is, how many motherfuckers am I taking out with me?
Exactly. I actually seen that creepy video of his last day.
Well,
maybe
when
2 weeks ago.
Well, they partied with him after.
Yeah, man.
The Jimmy
yeah.
bottle in his, the lenyo in his mouth.
Remember,
it was kind of tragic. You know,
Gibby Hayes was quite similar at one point, wasn't he? The Buttholes, he had a similar kind of reputation at one point.
Yeah, but maybe 1,000.
Not quite like that. No, I don't think there was anybody else on the planet that was Gigi Allen, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, geez. And he had fucked up growing up, some people told me, so I don't know.
Yeah.
He was
a
trippy kind of thing, and it's sad that we lost him. But, yeah, Jay Maskus told me he did one gig, and he said it smelled real bad. And I played pads where he had just been, and yeah, there was an odor to it. When does the Drella record come out?
Drella record is out in July, beginning of July.
Okay, so it's coming out right around the Space record.
Yeah, a little bit later, I think. I think it's about a month and a half between them, I think. And to be fair, the only reason for that is vinyl manufacturing has gone through.
Yeah, of course. Everything got postponed, of course.
Yeah.
But you said the fucking both bands kind of shared tunes and personnel, and so it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of the same package in a weird kind of way.
Yeah, you're just expressing yourself a little different. It's from another point in time, right? 10 years separated.
It's strange, isn't it, when you actually... You come back. I had not listened to that album probably since 2010, 2011. It was the last time I listened to it, and I probably listened to it for the first time maybe 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And it's definitely it's got a vibe to it, you know what I mean?
That's great.
It's definitely a vibe, and it's a fond memory, so it's nice to revisit it. I don't know about playing the songs again, like, but...
Yeah, but in a way, records are documents, you know, it's kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of good, very happening. Now, what about with this other band you got, Superfast Girly Show? What's the status on that?
Well, Superfast has been in a bit of a hiatus for a little while. Maybe 3 years, is it? And you know what's really strange? Pasha got his own studios. He set up a rehearsal pad and little small recording studios. And since we've built it, we haven't played as a band once. What the fuck's that about, man? How does that even happen? And he keeps threatening. I'm going to shame him into doing it. I give him a computer. I give him a Mac with Logic. He got a little interface. We got speakers. Set it all up in a little room. And he hasn't done one thing.
But at least you got the tools. It's just got to work.
When he's ready, he's going to get back.
Mr. Wells,
but we will, you know. To be fair, I've been digging out a few videos and, you know, sending them over to him. I'm going, remember, this was good.
Coaxing him. Well, like so Mr. Wells said, no wine before it's time, right?
Exactly.
I can't wait. And I love everything you're doing. I can't wait. Can't wait. It's been a big honor to have you on. When you do get some more... And in fact, when the space record comes out, you and Tommy should come on the show, and we can interrogate him.
You know what? Tom lives out in the sticks, in the middle of nowhere.
Actually, not far from Chester. But that's what Skype's for.
Well, not at his place, mate. Honestly, he can't get. He's got no signal. It's like the third world, really. Is.
Okay.
He has to have his phone.
Then you're gonna have to speak for him. But I want to go over and play every space song and talk about it. Okay.
Well, what we'll do is lockdown will be over, so I'll bring him to mine, and we'll sit here and we'll do it as we're doing it now. And
beautiful.
Because you'll have a laugh with Tom. He's a good man. He's fun.
Big love you, brother Phil. People, it's been March 8, 2021. Dish of Watt Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.